We've talked about all the ticket drama, whether it's dynamic pricing. Lisa Dent covers that a lot as a music aficionado and going to concerts. And StubHub's a service I've used for years, getting sports tickets. And I think we all are kind of used to now getting those fees at the end. And you're going, what the heck? This was $100 when I clicked on this ticket and I'm checking out and it's $175. How is that fair? Well, the Biden administration doesn't think it is. They think that it's illegal, in fact. StubHub is being sued. Chatting with us about that is Omar Suleiman from Atlas Consumer Law. Omar, welcome to WGN. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into this specific case, what sorts of work do you do as part of Atlas Consumer Law?
Yeah, our firm specializes in consumer litigation, a lot of debt collection, consumer statutes that we go after, a lot of the bigger debt collectors, banking institutions, and that's one side of our firm, and we also handle employment matters. We are growing in that department, and any consumer litigation issues from whether it's some kind of debt collection issue or employment issue, we're the home for that.
So people that are, you would argue, being unfairly targeted by debt collectors or done in illegal manners or ways that you feel is unfair, that you can represent people that are being called by debt collectors and help them navigate those waters?
Yeah, with regards to calls, harassing letters, harassing communication attempts with either the consumer or another unauthorized third party, whether it be, you know, a family member, a friend, you know, a lot of these debt collectors, sometimes they'll reach out to a mother-in-law, a neighbor, a cousin, you know, hey, your relative owes us some money. There's a statute that we sue under. It's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, but that's just one of the many consumer statutes that we sue under, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which governs how entities are able to report information on your credit reports. So just a wide range of consumer litigation statutes that we assist consumers in.
I'm going to get to the StubHub thing, but you just said something so interesting that I never knew. Wait, so are they allowed to call your relatives and tell them that you owe them money?
Only if you authorize them to. So a spouse is allowed to be called, but they're not allowed to call anybody else. We have many instances where, you know, we'll get calls from individuals telling us, like, hey, my neighbor just got called regarding this credit card debt that I have. Can they do that? I'm like, absolutely not. Why did you ever tell them that they can call your neighbor? Absolutely not. You know, that's something that is a big no-no. As the FDCPA was mandated by Congress, they cannot make any unauthorized third-party disclosure regarding your debt to another person. It's a tactic a lot of debt collectors use to kind of, you know, pressure consumers into paying these debts by getting in the ear of, you know, their family members, their friends, their colleagues, their at their places of employment.
They're trying to make you feel guilty, hey, like you're lesser than.
More or less, yeah. I mean, that's something that we see a lot. And, you know, why do they continue to do it is, you know, is the million-dollar question. But, you know, a lot of times they don't get caught, and a lot of people don't know what their rights are, and that's what we specialize in.
100%. You know, lawyers wouldn't have jobs if companies did what they are supposed to do 100% of the time. But I guess what I'm asking is, let's say someone does that. They contact your neighbors. They do all these unlawful practices to try and get that debt. When you sue, are you, like, looking for, like, punitive damages for, like, the harm that caused? Or are you trying to then wipe away the debt for just the unfair practice that they're operating? Like, what is the natural conclusion to the end of that?
Well, under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the FDCPA, Congress mandated that a consumer can be entitled to upwards of a maximum statutory recovery of $1,000, plus the debt collector has to pay your attorney's fees as well. So it's a fee-shifting statute which allows for attorneys to recover their fees. And, you know, Congress's intent in doing this was to have consumer attorneys act as, you know, private attorneys general, whereby attorneys are incentivized to kind of clean up the debt collection industry. And it's a lot of times consumers don't know what their rights are. So, I mean, back to your question about whether or not there are punitive damages involved, different states have different statutes. You know, California has the Rosenthal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, which is a very strong consumer statute, which also allows for $1,000 in recovery in addition to the FDCPA. Texas has one as well, Texas Debt Collection Act. Illinois Consumer Fraud and Deceptive Business Practices Act a lot of times, you know, courts are shying away from offering punitive damages in those situations, unless there's some pecuniary out-of-pocket cost that the consumer suffered as a result of the debt collection.
Okay. So it's $1,000 you can get, basically speaking, and then your fees have to be paid by the debt collector as well. So that would encourage people to call someone like you, knowing that if you win, the debt collector's got to pay you, right?
That's correct.
Sorry, I went on this tangent, Omar. When I hear something interesting, I like to go down that road. What number can people call you at Atlas Consumer Law? Like, how do they want, if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, oh my gosh, that is me, and I want Omar to represent me and his team at Atlas Consumer Law. I know atlasconsumerlaw.com is the website. Do you have a phone number you want to give out too?
Yeah, it's 312-313-1613.
312. Yeah, 312, sorry to interrupt you there, 313-1613. And you didn't even come on expecting to talk about that, Omar, so I appreciate you doing that because I find that interesting. We'll have to dive into that another time a little bit more longer and get some calls on that too, because I know debt collectors, I think every single person on this earth has been called by a debt collector at some point in time, or at least a lot of us have been. Okay, let's get to the topic at hand. StubHub, they're being sued out in D.C., right? Is this because of new laws that the Biden administration has administered, or maybe new interpretations of old laws against StubHub?
Well, I mean, this is something, this is a practice that StubHub's been engaging in for a while. And this is not just unique to StubHub. I mean, it was just, you know, there was a number that was thrown out by Washington, D.C. Attorney General that I think was since 2015, StubHub's collected about $120 million in these hidden fees. So this is a practice that they've been doing for a while. It's not the practice itself that is illegal. It's the concealing of the fees. It's the totality of what they're doing, you know, keeping people in these queues, and then once they release these tickets, you know, they have these, you know, statements like, you know, they'll have a little designation under that ticket, you know, tickets flying fast, or, you know, 10 people viewed this ticket in the last 10 minutes. And then they'll give you that timer to create that false sense of urgency. And, you know, it's just been compounding over these years, and just consumers just had enough.
So it's the cumulative effect. So what you're saying is that charging a fee for whatever it is they call it, that in and of itself is not a violation of the law, according to the Washington D.C. Attorney General, but it's the pressure campaign that they mount on you from the moment you log onto the site that all these things take into the same equation, the timer, the thought of these are going to run out, these will be gone if I don't do something right now, and oh, by the way, there's $70 extra of fees that were not originally on the button that I pressed. All of that gains into a situation that they contend is unfair.
Right. And StubHub's argument, one of the things they'll argue is that, you know, this clock, this countdown clock is critical. You know, it's so that people going to buy these tickets aren't just, you know, adding them to their cart and just sitting on them. Well, you know, it's a very self-serving comment, you know, that, you know, it's, they're doing exactly what they're intending to do, which is create this sense that, hey, everybody's banging on the door for these tickets. You better hurry up and get them. And, you know, it's kind of creating this anticipation, you know, you're going from page to page to page. And it's, you know, and then when you're at the end, it's like, you know, it's like a sense of accomplishment. Like, I went through this entire process of, you know, making it here. I got my tickets in hand. I'm ready to go. All I have to do is hit submit payment. Sure. Okay. It was $150. What's an extra $80 in the moment? But then you're looking at your statement later, like, did I really just pay, you know, $270 for these tickets that, you know, were advertised for, you know, $160, $180? It's not right.
I wonder, though, I do appreciate StubHub's response in that I guess you don't want people like just, you know, how bots do it now, too, where you just click on tickets and you hold them forever. And then that creates an artificial market in and of itself, right? Like that you've changed the marketplace by just holding tickets. But you bring up good points on the other side of it. I have kind of a random question to ask about this cumulative effect, this lawsuit. Whereas, yes, the individual clock may not be against the rules, the clock telling you to buy at a certain time. The fees, as long as they're telling you before you hit the purchase button, that may not be illegal, even though when you originally clicked on it didn't look like it'd be that much expensive. Is it hard to prove a case where you are relying on telling a jury or a judge, no, it's the cumulative effect, when you don't have a specific thing that they are breaking the law on to point to? Do you kind of get what I'm asking here?
I get what you're saying, but to lead off with your question is that, you know, there are states, I believe California has a law that they have to show the final price at the time the buyer is viewing the ticket for the first time. So, you know, that there tells you that this is already a problem for that people are facing, you know. So some states are already doing this where they're mandating that these sellers are showing the price at the outset. So there's no trickery going on, you know. So the mere fact that some states are doing and some states aren't is enough to show you that there is some trickery going on and there is some purposeful miscommunications and misleading behavior to try to get people to flock to their sites to buy these tickets at much higher prices than what was originally advertised.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, when we're looking at this in the purview of just ticket sales. I mean, on the heels of the pandemic in 2020, e-commerce increased by about 40%. And, you know, there's estimates that e-commerce is going to increase another 50% between now and the next 5 years. So a lot of people are flocking to these sites to buy things, whether it's tickets, whether it's shoes. And this countdown clock is not unique to StubHub, and that's fine. It's just these hidden fees, you know, back to what you were saying about the cumulative effect, that coupled with the timer, that's where courts are going to find this problematic.
Omar, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to pretend to be one here right now. I would argue potentially, if I was forced to try and take devil's advocate side on this, you mentioned it. It's not just StubHub, it's Ticketmaster, it's Amazon. They all put this countdown clock on. Aren't we all aware of what is happening here? Like, are we really being fooled into it? In a sense, isn't the cumulative effect that everyone does it this way kind of weaken the argument that somehow StubHub alone is fooling the consumer when we're always engaging in this exact scenario every time we check out online anywhere?
StubHub, and I'll give you a more recent example. I just bought tickets on StubHub about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, they were advertised on StubHub for a much lower price than they were, say, you know, the actual venue where I was going to watch this event at. And I was like, okay, you know, let me check out StubHub. They're a reputable name. I've bought tickets from them in the past. I know they've jacked up prices on me in the past, but how bad could it be? You know, I'm in anticipation, you know, it's getting close, it's getting late, I kind of want to go to sleep, and, you know, I'm going through page after page after page, and it's like, okay, you know, it's $80 more than what I had originally seen it for. Am I going to go through this process all over again, put in my credit card again? I'll just do it. So that they're banking on that. These people are very smart that they have employed to design their platforms the way they do. They're playing in the psyche of the consumer, the impatient consumer, Omar Suleiman being chief among them. You know, they know that consumers are very impatient. They want to, you know, this is, a lot of people are stopped going to brick and mortar establishments to buy things. And I'm not talking about tickets. You know, ticket sales are mostly done online, but you know, for instance, you're going to buy a suit, you know, buying it online, you know, okay, I know my measurements or, you know, or I know my, you know, what size shoes I'm wearing. There's no more that, you know, the salesman standing over your shoulder, like, hey, you know, can I help you? Can I get you in a different color? Is the size good for you? So that's why they're kind of create this like pressure point on consumers while they're on their website to kind of mimic what, a good salesman or salesperson would do in a physical brick and mortar location.
Right. Although what a salesman does in that brick and mortar isn't illegal, right? Like I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to bring you on here, Omar, and argue with you. I just like the conversation. I like diving into the legal arguments of things. I appreciate you breaking down. We're out of time, but Omar, please come back again. We got to book you to talk more about the work that you do, okay?
It would be my pleasure. Thank you so much.
AtlasConsumerLaw.com, 312-313-1613. Great stuff from Omar Suleiman.